Before I just jump right into the message this morning, I don't know why, but I just feel compelled to tell you that a lot of, it's kind of a, not across the board, but it's kind of a statistic that's common in churches is that for pastors, when they get to a church, you can plan on them being there for 3 to 5 years, right? I mean, how many of you are familiar with that's kind of what kind of generally happens sometimes? And I have seen that in my growing up. The longest I think that I had was 10 years. But it seemed like every 3 to 5 years they would change. And we're about to conclude our 6th year here at Dolan Baptist Church. And I got to tell you, and I've told some people before, but I am fired up because at the end of May, we will begin our 7th year here. And the Lord likes sevens. He likes sevens. So I'm excited about this next year and what the Lord has for us. The reason I say that is because of this. I don't think, just now, at almost 7 years, I'm really getting to know some of you. And I think it's a tragedy that some pastors don't get to know their folks. And the reason I say that is this, because when I see how some of you respond and some of the things you are going through that maybe other people don't have a clue, and I'm able to see that and watch that, I wouldn't miss that for the world. It's painful. It's the stuff that we go through. Sometimes it hurts, and it's a struggle. But to be able to walk all the way through that and to see how the Lord blesses, I wouldn't miss it for the world. And I just want to say, before we begin today, I just want to say thank you for this great and tremendous opportunity. God bless you. Thank you. Today I do want to talk to you. Again, this is not specifically designed for mothers, although mothers can certainly identify with this topic I'm talking about, but the truth is we can all identify. The title of this sermon is Pardon the Interruption. Has anybody ever been interrupted? When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about what kind of marks a mother. And did you know that mothers have marks? Some are more permanent than others. And we get that. Their bodies change, yes. And sometimes with permanent marks, like I said. Other visible marks of a mom are things like car seats that permanently live in the back seat. Food smashed into the fabric of the interior of the car. A purse that's large enough to carry snacks for the whole family and every other item imaginable just in case it's needed. Permanent spit-up stains on some of your favorite clothes. Homes with permanent marker or crayon art on the walls. And the list goes on and on. I thought about getting pictures to show each one of those things, but the truth is, the picture you have in your mind beats all those pictures I could have put up there, because you all have seen that. One of the biggest marks of a mom is her ability to handle interruptions. Interrupted meals. I remember my wife saying, I just want to be able to finish a whole meal in one sitting sometime. Interrupted sleep. Interrupted baths. Mom. 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 Even if you don't get out of the bathtub, it's just not quite the same, is it? Interrupted conversations. I've known women who've said, I just want to have adult conversation for 5 minutes, uninterrupted. But it's not just moms out there that have to deal with these interruptions. Okay, we all get interrupted during our work. You know, we'll be doing something that we're supposed to be doing, and something will come and interrupt that, and we have to deal with the interruption. Eating out, and quite honestly, you know, sometimes we go to eat out. If I want to be not interrupted eating out, we have to go to like Conroe or the Woodlands, because inevitably I'll run into somebody and I just feel compelled I have to go talk to somebody, or they want to come talk to me, which is fine and it's good. But sometimes it's just an interruption. Okay? Yard work Anybody ever been interrupted doing yard work? And the reason I wrote this and thought of this, because in our neighborhood, Floyd Rollins is like, he's like the honorary mayor of Lake Waterwheel. Okay? I don't know how he gets any of his yard work done, because when he's out there, somebody drives by, everybody wants to stop and talk to Floyd. And that's a great thing. I just think it would be pretty distracting if I were Floyd and I couldn't even get my yard mowed. So he, sometimes even the good things can get interrupted. A traffic jam is an interruption. How many of you have ever been headed somewhere only to find out that, the highway is closed because between here and Cold Spring, they're doing construction, and I got someplace to go, and to go around is a long way, so I just got to sit here and have my trip interrupted. Go down into Houston, you will experience traffic jams. Okay, we all have interrupted dreams. We have interrupted careers. We have things like a failed class in college or school. That's an interruption because you have to go back and do it again. Things are put on hold. Sicknesses are an interruption. How many of you just don't have time to get sick? Yeah. And so if you get sick, that's a big interruption, right? Things get put on hold. Things don't get done while you're sick. And it's just a big interruption. They're interruptions to our life. I want to read to you about an interruption in Luke chapter 10. If you'll find your Bible and turn there. If you don't have a Bible, I haven't said this in a while, but if you don't have a copy of God's Word, I have extras, and I would love to just put one in your hand. There are several in the room that have been recipients of that have got a copy of God's Word just because they said, I don't have one. And I, free of charge, no strings attached, except that you just read it. Okay? But in Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37, we're going to read the following. It says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho while he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled down, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now, at surface level, we can get some surface level stuff there, but you know, we're not satisfied with surface level stuff. We want to get deep, okay? There's some big stuff here. I mean, Jesus was obviously teaching. First of all, there was a priest and a Levite. A Levite was a temple worker. He wasn't the priest, but he was one of the ones that worked in the temple. They helped with the sacrifices and all the day-to-day occurrences of the temple. So you had a priest and a Levite that saw this man that had been robbed and beaten and left for dead, and they went on the other side. It's not because these were bad men. They just had some place to go. They had things to do, people to see, and they were important things, okay? And so they turned an eye and they went on to take care of these things that were very important. The important thing here to know is that it was a Samaritan man, okay? Now, what's a Samaritan man? It's a person from Samaria, okay? Why did people live in Samaria? Well, it's because they couldn't live in Jerusalem, and here's why. The Samaritans were mixed races, okay? They were products or they were people that the Jews had intermarried with some Gentiles, and their offsprings were Samaritans. They weren't complete, fully Jew, and so the Jews really shunned them. They looked down on them. They were lower class citizens of society. They weren't allowed to go to the temple, okay? In another story, when Jesus was with the Samaritan woman, the woman, she said, well, where do we worship? Y'all say that the temple is the only place to worship, and we say to worship on this mountain, but that's because they couldn't go to the temple. Okay? It was prejudice, it was segregation, it was all those things, which was not part of God's plan, but as God's people, they kind of set that up and thought that, well, that's the way we're going to make it, and it's not right. But that's the way it was. Okay? The biggest thing here is that two men saw an interruption. They saw the man, and they may have thought to themselves, if I stop, the temple's not going to be ready for worship. If I stop, the person I'm going to see might leave the appointment, and we may not have to be able to take care of the business that we need to take care of. For whatever reason, they saw that as an interruption, and they went on about their business, taking care of their business, right? But one man saw things a little differently. He saw it as an invitation. And some of life's greatest invitation come packaged as interruptions. How do we see the invitations and not perceive them as interruptions? That's the trick. Three things I want to mention in order to try to make this happen to where we can see it as an invitation and not an interruption. The first one is we have to make room. We have to make room in our schedules for the interruptions. We have to allow time. And not only that, but we also have to allow funds. You see, the Samaritan man that took him, it cost him money. Okay? He left the innkeeper 2 denarii. And then he said, you take care of him, and whatever else I owe you, I'll pay you when I get back. You see, we have to make room for that. Sometimes there's an opportunity that comes up and we want to be able to help, but we've just strapped ourselves so tight in our budget that we don't have room to be the hands and feet of Christ with our finances either. So not only time, but also finances. And there are other things that we need to make room for. But if you want to be able to see the interruptions in your life as invitations, you have to make room for them. The priest and the Levite, they saw the problem. And like I said, they weren't bad men. They were probably just busy. But how many of you have busy lives? Yeah. Yeah, we all have busy lives. Most of us have our days planned out so much that any deviation from the plan is identified as an interruption. A child needs extra attention. Well, I didn't really plan for that today. We don't have time for that because I have to get to the dentist office. I have to get here. I have to get there. The PTA meeting, whatever it is, I have things to do. I don't really have, I'll try to make time this evening, okay? Or whatever. We don't have time. A friend needs to talk. A friend calls and says, man, have you got a minute? And you're thinking to yourself, no, I really don't. I would really love to talk to you, but I am so busy. I've got so many things to do. Okay, now maybe that's an excuse and a lie, but still, nonetheless, sometimes we are very busy, okay? And people are waiting on us. People, how many of you are people depend on you for stuff? Yeah, raise your hand if somebody depends on you. Yeah, most of us, somebody depends on us for something, okay? Often, it's not that we're ignoring these things or don't care, it's just that we're too busy and focused on our schedule. There's a pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a martyr. He was actually martyred in the Hitler regime back in the Second World War. He was a pastor. He had come to America and done some study and went back because he felt called to pastor in Germany, knowing that it was life-threatening, and it turned out to be true. But he said this. He writes, "We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with our more important tasks. It's a strange fact that Christians and even ministers frequently consider their work so important and urgent that they will allow nothing to disturb them. They think they are doing God a service, but in this they are actually disdaining God's crooked yet straight path." You see, you have to have space in your life if you want to be God, if you want to be used by God. You have to have space in your life. I know we were busy, and most of those things we're busy about are important things. But too often, we allow the unimportant things or the unimportant interruptions, and we miss out on the important interruptions, or rather, invitations. How many of you would agree that naps are important? Amen. Okay, naps are important, but are they more important than visiting with your children? Okay, there's nothing wrong with watching a little TV or playing a game on your iPhone, checking out Facebook, but sometimes we get so wrapped up in something that we miss out on something really, really, really important. Okay, so we have to make time. We have to make time for the things that are important. Okay, number one was make room. Number two was open our eyes. We have to open our eyes. All three men saw the same thing. All three men saw there's this beat up dude laying on the side of the road and he could probably use some help. Okay, the first two probably thought somebody's going to come along and provide help for him. I just don't have time right now. Okay, but they saw the same thing. The Samaritan man, he saw the same thing as the first two. It wasn't a different situation when he came along. They all saw the same thing, but one just saw it a little differently. I read this quote. I couldn't find who wrote it, but he simply said this: "The way you see determines the way you feel." Okay, the way you see, the way you, and I want to put in here another word: the way you choose to see will determine the way you choose to feel. Okay, one of these days I'm going to preach a sermon on it. It's about a choice, and we have to make choices, because the truth is, you get to choose the way you see some things. And you get to choose the way you feel about those things. And if anybody ever says, "Well, I just couldn't help it," hang on a minute. Yes, you could. You look at them and say, "Oh, no, you didn't." You didn't just say that to me because you had a choice in the matter. Okay? When God wants to use someone, He doesn't care about your credentials. Okay? Sometimes we say that the reason we can't be used by God is because I'm not qualified. I don't have the right stuff. I don't have the right education. I don't have the right, I'm not financially set to where I can just give money away. Whatever reason, we make up all these excuses. He doesn't care about your credentials. He used a Samaritan man. Okay? Another quote: "God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called." Right? Look throughout Scripture. Moses, Noah, David, all these people were not standouts. They were ordinary people that were made extraordinary by God's presence and by His power and by His Spirit. And the truth can be said of us. God wants to use someone who He knows will see things the way He sees them. It's a matter of perspective. When you see something, what do you feel? When you see this, do you feel disgust or do you feel compassion? Do you feel annoyance or do you feel that it's an opportunity? Do you feel prejudice or do you see that other person as God's creation? Is it a burden or is it a gift? You see, it's a matter of perspective. We have to open our eyes and see things the way God sees things. The third and last thing is, we have to embrace the opportunity. We have to embrace the opportunity. I'm going to take us to another passage earlier in Luke. It's Luke chapter 1. If you're in your Bible, just flip back to the left a few pages. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. And this is a part of the story that we normally read at Christmas time. But one of these days, I'm going to kind of clue you in that I'm just not a regular, ordinary kind of guy. But Luke chapter 1, verse 28 says this: "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." And I really like, there's the earlier version of the NIV and a lot of the other versions say this, "For nothing is impossible with God." Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary said. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Mary was an ordinary girl, planning an ordinary wedding. See, she wasn't even fully married yet. She was betrothed, which is kind of the initial part of being married. But they weren't living together. They weren't being married together. Okay, she was planning an ordinary wedding, probably not a great, rich, you know, a banquet type of wedding, but just an ordinary kind of wedding. And she was not looking for this interruption in that. You see, Mary's life would never be the same. Not just because she was giving birth to a child, but this was no ordinary child either. She was giving birth to the Son of God. And her life was about to be very different. She was going to be blessed beyond measure. She says that I'll be called blessed. She was. But she would also experience the most excruciating thing that a mother could ever experience in watching her son die on a cross, be tortured and crucified. But instead of an interruption, she saw this as an invitation. She focused on the opportunity and felt blessed that God would choose her for this task. You see, God chose her, and she embraced the opportunity. A little bit further along in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, we read, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." You know what Mary said? "He picked me. He chose me." She didn't go, "Oh, Lord, I don't have time for this. It ain't going to look right. I know what people are going to be saying about me because I'm not even fully married yet, and here I'm going to be with child. Oh, not now. I don't have time for this. It's going to interrupt my schedule." No, she didn't say that. She didn't see it as an interruption. She said, "This is a great opportunity. This is an invitation. The Lord has asked me. He chose me, and I will embrace the opportunity. He picked me." Guess what? God has picked you. God has chosen you, first and foremost, to be His child. Okay, but like Mary, we must embrace the opportunity. We must receive the invitation and say, "May it be unto me as you have said." Just like Mary did. It's an interruption. Or is it? Is it an interruption or is it an invitation? How we see it will determine how we feel about it. My prayer is this, that we as a people will stop being annoyed by the interruptions that come each and every day and see them for what they are and their opportunities. They're invitations to get involved in God's work. They are divine appointments that God has set up with nobody else but you. Maybe it's taking in a child that's not your very own, but they become your very own. Maybe it's helping somebody in need when you have needs of your own. But you can be of assistance there. And you can help that. And you can be a blessing to someone. Maybe it is saying, "You know what? Give me just one second. I got to cancel some plans that I had made because this is important that I talk to you right now. I can tell." Is it an interruption? or is it an invitation? How you see it will determine how you feel about it and what you do about it. Somebody may say, well, you need to receive Jesus Christ into your life. And your response may say, well, I ain't got time for that. I got things to do. I got things to places to go, people to see. I got too much. I'm not going to worry about that now. I'll do that later. I'll put that off. But I can't right now. You see, God's invitation is there. Do you receive it? Do you see it as an invitation or is it an interruption into your life? Well, hang on a minute. If I do that, I know enough about the Bible to say that I shouldn't be doing this any longer, and I really like that. So I'm just going to wait until I get tired of this, and then I'll come to Jesus. There's going to be a lot of people in hell, people, that are thinking, oh, if I only had acted sooner. If that's you today, oh, don't put it off. The invitation is there. God is standing there with His arms wide open. And He says, will you come? Will you come? You see, that's God's first plan for us, is to be in a relationship with Him. But then it's not over. It's not over. Because God still has picked you for certain things in this world and in this life, in this church, in your families, in your neighborhoods, in your communities, in your workplaces. I love hearing the stories. Some of you tell me about some of the encounters that you have in the grocery store, at work, at school. I love hearing some of those stories because God has put you there in those situations for a purpose. Do you accept the invitation or is it an interruption? We have a choice. We have a choice. This morning, you may be here, you are here if you're hearing me, unless you're listening on the internet later. But if you're here this morning, you may be here and thinking, you know what? I've missed some opportunities. I've been missing opportunities because I've put some other things first. And they may be important things, but you know what? Those are once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, too. And I've missed some. I don't want to miss those anymore. And maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't want to miss those any longer. And maybe you want to come for prayer this morning. Rebecca will be here with me in a moment. There will be some other folks here in the front. But the altar is always open. The altar is free of charge. We don't charge to come to the altar. It's free. You can come and kneel and get right before God yourself and say, Lord, this is the way it's been, and I don't want to be like that anymore. Change me by the power of your Holy Spirit. Not sure what your need is this morning. Not sure exactly what's going on. I know that there are a lot of things that I'm aware of going on in people's lives. Okay, there are some things that I'm not aware of. I don't need to be aware of everything, but you need to trust and know that God is aware, and He cares, and He is there for you, and He has put you in that place for a reason. And I know that there are people in this room that have taken children that aren't their own, that have been in those situations that Bill was just mentioning, and you've taken them in and you've loved them. And they've become your own. God bless you. God bless you. That is not an interruption. That was an invitation. And you said, I accept the invitation. You RSVP'd and said, I will be there. God bless you for that. God bless you for that. I'm not sure exactly what you needed today, okay? But that was the message the Lord laid on my heart. And I know that there is at least one person in this room, I'm positive, that needed to hear that message today about making room for the interruptions and seeing them as an invitation, opening our eyes and embracing the opportunity. If you need to embrace the opportunity to become a child of God today, you come and see me here. If you need to take care of other business, the altar is open, and this is your time. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We say we love you. We honor you. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love us, Father. Lord, I pray that you would call us into a deeper fellowship with you, that you would call us to be on mission for you. And Father, I know that the call is already there. It already exists. You have been calling us into a deeper walk with you. You have been calling us to be busy about your work. But Father, I pray that where we may have been putting that off as interruptions, that today we would accept the invitation and say, I'll be there. I accept and I will make time. I will make way. I will make resources available to take care of that because it's important, because God put it in my path. God put the beat up man in my path, and there it is. What do I do? Do I walk on the left side of the road, or do I stop and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ? What is it in our lives that's the beat up man on the road, Father? Show us, and may we respond in a way that you would have us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we